it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello there, and welcome to this week's edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. This week, as I promised last week, we hear from John Simpson. John is the president of Blind Citizens Australia. He joins me to talk about the upcoming convention. John, thanks once again for joining us.
Oh, it's good to be back on New Horizons, Vaughan.
Coming up in October this year, we have the National Convention. Is this the 26th National Convention or somewhere around there?
I'll take your word for that, Vaughan. I haven't counted them recently. But, of course, conventions used to be held on an annual basis. Now, national conventions held every second year. And, yes, this is a national convention year.
And what will be happening at this convention? Do we have any understanding of that yet?
Well, probably the major attraction, Vaughan, is the fact that we're delighted to have the president of the World Blind Union, Dr. Frederick Schroeder, joining us. He's coming from the US to be part of the convention program. Fred has a distinguished career in education and rehabilitation services for blind people in the United States. And of course, as the president of the world body, has a real understanding of blindness services and the needs of blind people right across the world. So a great opportunity to meet and hear from someone who is truly a world leader in the field.
One of the things that always happens at convention, John, is the annual general meeting of Blind Citizens Australia. There's some important business to be conducted this year at that meeting. Do you want to give us a heads up on that?
So firstly, Vaughan, to say that we're conducting the annual general meeting on the Friday night, so it's really a precursor to the national convention. That way we don't interrupt the convention program with the formalities of the AGM. And yes, apart from the normal business of receiving the annual reports and financial statements, and of course the announcement of election of directors and members to the National Policy Council, there'll be some special business to be conducted. As most members are probably aware by now, we've been working with Blind Citizens New South Wales towards a merger with that organisation in order to accommodate a state-based body, Blind Citizens New South Wales, and in fact other state bodies in the future. We've needed to do some work in restructuring parts of our constitution to provide for what we're calling state divisions. So a state division will be comprised of the members of BCA from a given state or territory, and it'll have a committee structure, and it'll have some autonomy in terms of the ability to undertake services such as information, peer support, the normal things that BCA and Blind Citizens New South Wales do, but within the structure of Blind Citizens Australia.
We spoke some time ago about this on the program when the Memorandum of Understanding was being drawn up. What's the progress on that to date?
Well, the progress is that we're now at a point where we have had our legal advisors draw up the changes that are necessary to the BCA constitution, and they're fairly minimal, and I can talk about those in a minute, but also to establish a set of what we're calling state division guidelines. They're effectively bylaws that will govern the relationship between the state body and the national body. So they deal with things such as financial reporting and where the name Blind Citizens Australia can and can't be used, you know, representation of the organisation and those sort of procedural things. Now, they're not constitutional changes, but certainly we'll be publicising those and making sure that our members are very much aware of them. We will, however, need to make some constitutional changes to accommodate the new structure, and we're taking the opportunity to have a look at any other aspects of the constitution that are a little bit out of date or need attention at the same time. So that's the progress in relation to the formalities. Alongside of that, Emma Bennison, our executive officer, and Crystal Malcolm, the executive officer of Blind Citizens New South Wales, have been working very closely on processes and procedures so that the two organisations can fit together. So Crystal now attends BCA staff meetings. She represents BCA quite often on matters that need our advocacy and representation in the Sydney area. We're looking at bringing the two finance and accounting systems together, looking at telephones and computer management systems that will allow us to operate across several sites. Because, of course, one of the other things that's happening in BCA is that we're now starting to have staff working in several locations around the country.
Given that we already have Blind Citizens Western Australia, which is along similar lines to what is expected from Blind Citizens New South Wales, are we anticipating that these state divisions and that the forthcoming merger with BCNSW will herald things to come in other states?
Well, we certainly wanted to make sure that we could take those opportunities as they arose. Our relationship with Blind Citizens Western Australia, although it's been fantastic at a practical and working level, has in fact had a few glitches in terms of the constitutional relationship between the two organisations. So these state divisions provide us with an opportunity to deal with that. But there are also other states, Vaughan, where there is some interest in putting in place a state-level structure. Queensland is a great example of that. Because Queensland is so decentralised with a number of substantial regional cities, it would be an ideal place for us to have some sort of state structure working that could support our branches and interest groups across the country. And one of the things that I should make very clear is that these state divisions don't replace our current locally based branches. They'll continue to operate and continue to have a direct relationship with the BCA national office structure and, of course, the board. But the state division will sit in that mix to deal with things, as I say, where we need to attract funding from state governments or have other relationships with either government or community or commercial organisations at a statewide level.
When was the constitution last revised?
There hasn't been a major revision for some years. There were some small changes made in 2014, but already there are some things that have changed that that we need to attend to. And those changes, some of them are internal and some of them relate to changes in the corporation's law that we just need to keep up with. BCA is incorporated as a company, so it's subject to the corporation's law. It's a company limited by guarantee. And there are a couple of changes in that we need to make. One relates to the fact that it's been a requirement up until recent times for us to hold monies that we receive through donations in a separate gift fund. And the law has changed, so that's now not necessary. There have also been some changes about things like how we determine the number of directors to be elected each year. And it's only a wording change, but we need to bring the wording of that clause in the Constitution into line with the current recommended wording from the ACCC. I think probably the more interesting changes are a couple that we're making for our own purposes, Vaughan. One of those is, of course, that you'll recall that we established the National Policy Council last year. And while we were able to do that and have it governed through a set of bylaws, the Constitution hasn't reflected that change. So it still talks about the National Policy and Development Council. So there's a change of that nature. But more interestingly, we've taken the time to look at the clauses around the requirement for signatures on documents such as nomination forms, proxy forms, and in relation to the management of our finances. And of course, many organisations now don't require a physically applied signature as evidence of someone's agreement or authorisation or whatever it might be. And of course, this is particularly relevant in a national organisation of blind people, where it's just not practical to send a nomination form from you in Hobart, to me in Victoria, and then to someone in New South Wales, and then back to the national office. So the clauses around the requirements for signatures now will formalise the ability for us to use electronic signatures, or in fact for the board to determine other ways in which people can verify their identity or their approval or support for whatever the issue might be.
I know there have been issues in the past where organisations have had issues with receiving signatures of blind and vision impaired people. Has that been in response to any of that?
No, not directly, although of course we're aware of that, but it's been an issue in our own administration, and particularly over the last few years we've noticed it in relation to the election process for election of directors, for election of members to the National Policy Council, because there is a requirement that a nomination includes the authorisation of someone who's making the nomination, someone who's seconding it, and the person who is being nominated. Now, if you've got to get three signatures for that, it's just very hard to manage. So this takes account of that, and of course takes account of the fact in terms of financial matters that the world has changed. You know, very few financial transactions these days rely on someone actually signing a check. The authorization to make a transfer from one account to another is usually done online. So the Constitution needs to reflect those sort of technological changes as well.
Mm. Now, that brings me to the next question. John, there will be nominations for directors, as I understand it, at the AGM this year. When will you be calling for them?
In fact, there'll be, I think it's five positions declared vacant this year, Vaughan, because of the fact that we filled three casual vacancies during the year, and those people only serve to the next annual general meeting. So we will be calling for nominations. That will occur as part of the notice of the annual general meeting and of these special resolutions and so forth. They'll go out, they need to go out 60 days before the annual general meeting. So that puts them around the middle of August that we'll need to get those materials out, calling for nominations and with the notices and so on and so forth.
I assume at that time you'll be then calling for registrations for the convention?
Yes, there'll be the formal registration form and a draft program for the convention and its associated activities and all of those sorts of things. So quite a big package of information to go to all members within the first half, as I say, of August.
And it will be available in their preferred format, as I understand.
Absolutely. That's a requirement of the organisation and one that we're very pleased to ensure that happens. So, yes, the materials are distributed in large print, braille, these days electronic form, as people require them.
So, of course, it's important to make sure that your appropriate format is registered with the BCA office. Do we just do that by calling them direct?
Or? Yes, that can be done by talking with Samantha Marsh in the national office, and for people outside the Melbourne and Victorian area, use the 1-800 number for that purpose.
John, thanks very much for joining us.
Good to be with you, as I say, Vaughan.
John Simpson there, President of Blind Citizens Australia. Before we finish the program this week, coming up on Thursday the 13th of July, for those of you living in Tasmania, there's a teleconference for interested blind and vision impaired people from all over Tasmania. If you'd like to register your interest for that teleconference, it's held at 7:30 on the 13th of July. That's Thursday the 13th of July. The telephone number to contact is Jan on 0438 012 552. That number again, 0438 012 552. If you'd like to get in touch with Blind Citizens Australia, you can do so. The email address is bca@bca.org.au. bca@bca.org.au. The telephone number, of course, is 1-800-033-660. 1-800-033-660. If you'd like to donate to BCA or remember them in your will, you can find out how to do that. Just look at the website, www.bca.org.au. And all the information about that and many other things can be found on the website, as well, of course, as links to previous editions of New Horizons. That's it for this week's program. I'll talk to you again next week. We'll
achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.